Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. So what rings in my heart today is, who is this Jesus? He goes back to his hometown, but on the way he had been successful in many miracles. So there was a buzz about him. And so he arrives in his hometown of Nazareth. And Nazareth is a town of about, historians say, maybe 500, maybe 1,500. We don't know exactly. But everyone knew each other, obviously, in a town that small. So he goes to the synagogue, and what happens? There is this buzz about him, but the honeymoon of his ministry quickly ends. And he recognizes and hears their rejection. So he goes away to local villages, probably Hermosa and Redondo Beach and Torrance, leaves here and goes to these local villages and only heals a few more. And then he gathers the 12. And he now is ready, even though they probably don't feel ready at all, but he wants to send them off. This ministry is bigger than he is. It's bigger than he is. So he wants to send them off, and he gives them authority. What does that mean, authority? In fact, when Jesus 2 weeks ago was on the water, sat fast asleep, and the disciples wake him up, and there's this huge storm, and they're all upset, and he calms the storm, and they say, "Who is this? That he has authority over the storm and the wind." And then last week, we hear that he raises this little girl. I wonder if he bent over and whispered, "Listen, kid, you're not dead yet," and raises her up to sit up. And in the same gospel last week, we hear that Harry is busy with all these people, and all of a sudden he says, "Someone touched me, I felt the power go out." Authority and power. What is this? So Harry gathers these 12, and he says, "I'm going to send you out with authority, with my power. I want you to get out there." And he sends them off 2 by 2. So if there's 12 disciples, there must be 6 pairs. So I wonder how he matched them up. Who did he put Peter with? I'm thinking maybe Thaddeus. We only hear the name of Thaddeus once in all the Gospels. So here's this real extrovert with an introvert. And James and John, we hear that they're sons of thunder. They must both be real extroverts. I'm sure he divides them up. Who did he match up with Judas Iscariot? Judas at that point was the one who was really into outreach and social justice. So who did he match up with him? But then he says, "Take nothing with you but a staff. Don't bring your purse or your knapsack or your suitcase or your day pack. Don't bring your wallet. Don't bring your credit cards, debit cards. Don't bring food. Don't bring power bars. Just bring a staff. Yes, keep your sandals on. Don't bring an extra tunic, just a staff." Why just a staff? Well, this is great, Bob. This is Bob Africanos. I love this. Might not last very long. So a staff is used. If you were down at Trump's and you walked over to the unmarked section by the mobile home park, where there are places to walk, but it's dirt and rocks. This would help with the dirt and rocks. But the most important thing is to guard against wild animals. There were no fences, there were no zoos. There were wild animals that roamed as freely as human beings did. So the primary reason for the staff was to guard against being attacked by a wild animal. Now, Jesus says to not take anything with you but that staff. So he's talking about hospitality. You have to rely on hospitality. We don't have that, do we, anymore? Except if you live in Alaska. If you live in Alaska, in a very remote place, where you hardly ever see another car on the road, then it is an unwritten law that you stop if there is a car on the side of the road that's broken down. It's a matter of life and death, the whole notion of hospitality in Alaska. So Jesus invited these disciples to travel light. And so now I'm going to ask you some questions. Are you ready? You can answer too. Okay. Just shout. Are you ready? Okay. Why do you think Jesus wanted these disciples to travel light? So if you were at the 8 o'clock service and they answered right away, he said to rely on others and to rely on God. The Spirit is light. Excellent. Okay. What was essential for their journey? What could they not do without? The staff? Their faith? If you were at the 8 o'clock service, you would have heard hairspray and mascara. Can't do without. Now, they were asked to leave things behind. What should we leave behind as we're sent on our journey to share the good news? But let's stop. First of all, what is the good news? Pardon me? Christ is risen. God exists. God loves us. The Word of God. So, every Sunday or most Sundays you're here and you hear the good news. And one way that we talk about the message that Jesus passed on to us is we call it the good news. And we've reduced it to three phrases. Love God, love others, serve the world. So we've taken these four gospels, and there's all kinds of subtext to what Jesus said, but we have reduced it so we can remember it. So on a day like today, when I ask you what the good news is, you all simply shout out, love God, love others, serve the world. Marvelous. So what should we leave behind as we share the good news? And the good news, love God, love others, serve the world, is a challenge in one sense. So for instance, I can't go anywhere without my cell phone. And if I have an appointment anywhere, then I stuff my iPad in my purse. So I can definitely get a lot done and check on things and email and even work. So I take these, what I think is essential. And what happens in that moment? Here I am in this office And I'm right here looking at my cell phone and my iPad, and in the office are other human beings. And I don't see them because I am focused on what I think is essential. So what did Jesus say to his disciples? You know, that's not essential. Leave it behind. Leave it behind. I want you to go out there and be in the moment as you are, and as you are becomes the good news. If you put your light under a bushel basket, that's not it. But if you let your light shine, you are now in the authority and power of the good news. At this parish, what is essential for us to share the good news? What is essential for us? And we say, generosity, welcoming others, to show up. That's a good start. to be here. Yes, excellent. So, love God, love others, serve the world with authority and power, to me, happens through amazing grace. The grace, it's not us, is it? It's us letting God use us. The ability to do that is through a letting go, and that can only happen through amazing grace. So this power and this being sent to go share the good news with just a staff, think about. What are your distractions? What happens when you leave the house and the idea of sharing the good news never enters your brain cells? Because you have a task, an errand, an appointment, something that's just happened to you is all you're thinking about or feeling. So the ingredient that Jesus passed on to the apostles was step out in faith. Step out in faith and be the good news. And you and I can only do that through amazing grace. When you have an appointment, next time you're in an office waiting, and you grab your cell phone or your iPad or your laptop or whatever, that's okay. But pause and look around and see who's in the room with you. They need to see and hear and experience the good news. And sometimes that's it. You are going to be it for them that day, because they might leave that office and go home and never see another human being that day. So today I invite you to take your staff and let go of your distractions and hold on to the amazing grace and power of Jesus and be the good news. Amen.